Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Hello, welcome to our program tonight with Professor Gary Lee. We got a great program that's going to be starting tonight. And Professor Gary Lee, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. I was just waiting for our little intro, but you beat me to it. God bless you. How you doing, Hunchy Bowen?
I'm doing amazing, sir, and truly amazing. And, hey, I'm really, really super excited about the show we have on tonight. And, you know, hey, everyone, please don't turn the dial. Stay right here because the information you're going to learn, because everybody wants to be in Atlantic City, and the man himself who puts all of that together is here tonight.
Yes, we do. We have Mr. Alan Goldberg as our special guest, and we'll be talking to him in just a few minutes. But before we do, I'd like to welcome everyone to the very first show of 2017. Welcome officially to the AMAA, Pioneers and Legends Archives Radio Show, where we feature the personal up-to-date interviews with the pioneers and legends of sport karate and the American martial art icons. We're calling this season Parts Unknown. We're going to be asking the hard questions and the real questions that everyone wants to listen to or know what the answers are. We want to thank everyone right off the bat for all the emails that we get, and we have a very special segment just to answer those questions, and you, the listeners, are what motivates us because of all the educators, and that's what we are, Hunchy Bowen and myself. We want you to share the knowledge, so we'd like for you to pass it on. This is very important. Remember, we're losing an entire generation of fine black belts, men and women who laid the foundation for and developed the strongest system of martial arts in the world. The passing of each one saddens me greatly, but I suggest that you seek out and talk with as many from that generation as possible. You know their emails, give them an email. You know the phone numbers, give them a call. If you need their phone numbers, if you need their email, call me. If they're a personal friend of yours, I'll make sure you get it. When they pass, they'll never be the likes of them ever again. Never. So let's cherish them while we can. And that's what this program does. This program features the pioneers and icons of sport martial arts. For the record calling, after we talk to our special guest tonight, you may call at 657-383-1410. And as always, my producer and my dear friend Hunchy Bowen has a very special feature that we do. If you prepare yourself and you buy a book from us, The Who's Who in American Martial Arts, you'll receive a free calendar with that. And if you'd like to go directly to do that, go to www.whoswhointhemartialarts.com. And call directly. Make sure you get your calendar. Please call 919-618-8075. For more information, you may go to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or the Century Martial Arts site, where we feature the book also. We like to let you know that we've got some incredible upcoming guests that will be coming up and featuring on the radio show. And just to mention them lightly, Colonel Phil Torres. Our next interview will be Monster Man Everett Eddy. We have Mr. Bill Viola, Mr. Bruce Brucci, Mr. Jim Buten, Judge Roy Kerbin, Mr. Sam Chapman, Mikey Rowe Moore, Bob Liker, Mr. George Minshew, Mr. Jerry Trimple Jr., Harry Mock. We just conversed with Duke Tersel. We have Mr. Willie Hicks, John DeVries, and Richard McClain, who's running the Superfoot World Tournament for Bill Wallace. And tonight, we're actually going to be doing a live radio interview with the first superstar of martial arts, Mr. Mike Stone from the Philippines. With that said, I would like to talk a little bit about my special guest tonight. I've known Mr. Goldberg going on 20-some-odd years, personally. He actually received the very first Mahalo Award, the Ed Parker Senior Mahalo Award from the Sport Karate Museum Archives that I asked Liana Parker and Ed Parker Jr. permission to do. I received it at the Arnold Schwarzenegger's event, and I'm very honored for him to get the very first Mahalo Award that represents the Pork Product Museum and Ed Parker's legacy. And I did that because I believe that this gentleman, he had the vision of putting people together. And this is something that we really take a lot of pride in at the Sport Crowder Museum Archives, and that gift of putting people together. This gentleman does that, and he's done it every year, ever since I've known him, since the late 90s. Every year it's gotten bigger and better and stronger. And besides the fact that he's a great producer, he's actually a superb martial artist, trained with Jason Lau, and his art is Wing Chun. With that said, I'd like to bring on my very special guest tonight, Sifu Alan Goldberg. Master Goldberg, are you on the line?
Oh, I'm here. How you doing, guys?
Hey, may I call you Sifu, Alan, or Mr. Goldberg?
Whatever you want to call me. Just not late for dinner, that's all.
Okay, I won't call you late for dinner, sir. I'll call you Sifu. I feel comfortable doing that. Caliban, thank you for being here for my very first show. And you know, there's a lot of people who don't know that you are considered to be the, well, you are. You produce the largest martial arts event in the world, but there's a lot of part of you that people don't know, and that's the part that the parts unknown like to talk a little bit about tonight. And basically, who is Alan Goldberg, and how did you get started? So that's probably the first question I'd like to ask you, Sifu, is how did you get started in Wing Chun, if that was your first style? And your relationship with Jason Lau, and how you got involved with New York martial arts?
Well, originally I started with, believe it, Shotokan Karate. I was studying with a guy,
okay,
Anthony Marina, Maynard Minor, you should know that name. I studied with him.
Yes, sir.
Slight time with George Cofield. Then I got involved with Five Animal Kung Fu. And back in sort of the very early 70s, I met Jason Lau at Madison Square Garden. And we saw him do a show, and then walking down the street one day, we met face to face. And a month later, I was training up in his school.
Wow, you mentioned
so
George Cofield. That's a memory, Mr. Cofield. I know he was hard,
yeah, well,
hardcore. Yeah. He went with guys like Eric Bennett and those guys, Errol Bennett. Yeah.
One name people may not recognize, very low-key, is Maynard Minor, who was George Cofield's instructor. Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
He's still alive, and I think he's probably in his late 80s right now. So, you know, he was
what years
amazing.
Was that?
Wow,
what year was that?
Probably in the early 80s, it's got to be.
Early 80s.
Yeah, early 80s. And
now,
he was the first.
Before you got involved with the publishing and you're still doing martial arts, you know, did Jason Lau actually train you personally, or did you work in a class? Or?
Well, I had a school, and Jason started training me down at my school with me and my partner, actually. And after that, he said, well, I'm opening the school up on Flavish Avenue, where we were. And he goes, why don't you move your students up to my school? And one thing led to another. We closed our school down, moved up, because it was a big school. We had two floors. And about a month later, I found myself living in the school, which was actually he converted into a Shaolin temple with two floors. And
it was kind of
amazing. I mean, we lived there. There were five other guys that we lived there. I was the first one. And our whole life was just surrounded about living and, you know, being in Kung Fu. So we Wing Chun Kung Fu was our lifestyle. And we'd work out till 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, it was an amazing time in my life. Then I got married, and that ruined it all. I couldn't live in the school anymore. I had to move into an apartment with her. So
I really don't remember what year it was, but we were backstage at an event, and you were working with one of your ukis, in Japanese we call them ukis, but one of your assistants, and you were incredibly fast. I mean, if you remember, I used the word unnaturally fast that Alan Goldberg was. So your Wing Chun is very efficient, very, very pure. And I got to ask you, though, from going from the streets and working in Kung Fu in New York, when did you have the vision of the magazine, or was the magazine before your vision of being a producer?
No, it was before the video. Actually, the long story short, we did the magazine over 25, 26 years ago, and it was just an idea. We were just going to print a little 4 or 5 page thing, send it out in the local schools, and the day we went to print, we went with 12 pages. We needed 16, so we took our business cards out, and we threw them in the magazine and blew them up. We had no idea what we were doing, and within a few years, we came to a full-color 64-page magazine. So we went through growing pains. And ironically, it went worldwide. I mean, we didn't send it worldwide. It wound up worldwide somewhere or another. And
you were not prejudiced. You covered everybody. That was the good thing about Action Martial Arts Magazine. Really enjoyable on that. It's not that everybody needs coverage. It's that you would cover everyone, not only in the New York area, but you'd have, representatives, of course. But the thing about it is, I love the fact that it was very open and it covered all the styles in martial arts. So the magazine was 20, 25 years in the making. When did you have the vision of the event itself, the Action Martial Arts mega event?
When I couldn't afford to print the magazine anymore, I needed a way to raise funds. And I was very good friends with a gentleman named Dennis Gomes. He was the president of the Taj Mahal at the time. He had transferred and became the president of the Tropicana Hotel. And one day I'm kidding. I said, wow, I'd like to rent a room and run a little dinner here. He brought me the room. He goes, it's yours. Let's talk. And I looked at the room, and it's a football field, you know, 20,000 square feet. And I looked at the guy and go, who am I going to put in this room? I said, what, are you kidding me? And our first year, we had over 1,400 people at our banquet. So it just came out of nowhere. The magazine was a venue or a vehicle for me that was amazing. And because Alan Goldberg couldn't have done it alone. He needed the magazine to be the focal point of this event. And, you know, we did very well to the point where people didn't realize that we used the money just to print the magazine because we couldn't put out a magazine with what we were making in advertising. So we went up, you know, that was the thing. All our money that we made at the events went into the magazine.
Wow. I cover hundreds of events. And this is the only event that's considered to be the Academy Awards of Martial Arts. And that is simply because you pretty much handpick the people who get the awards. And that's one of the things I'd like to talk about is that you have an incredible array of people that go there. Not only the mega stars, but everyone that supports it. But one of the things I picked up on going to research is you have over 50 seminars, whereas like a handful of coins to be able to go to all these free seminars. I'd love to talk about that for a moment. Who's going to be there, and how can you do that?
I'd love to give you a rundown of our celebrities that are going
to
be this year. I did mention Mark Henry's coming now.
We got an hour. Go ahead.
Ray Mercer is coming, the heavyweight boxing champion.
Yes.
Michael Jai White, Kari Tagawa from Mortal Kombat, Chuck Zito.
Yes.
Don the Dragon, of course, Bill Wallace, Cynthia Rothrock, Eric Lee, Christine Bannon Rodriguez, Jeff Smith, Bernie Carrick, New York City Police Commissioner, martial artist, Gary Alexander, Tayari Casal, Joe Veneri from the Tokens, David Toma, the most decorated cop in the nation, Plaxico Burgess from the Giants. Who else? We got Hank Garrick. James
Lowe. Where are you? Yeah,
I got Tito Santana from the wrestling field. We got King Kong Bundy, Dan Severn, Stephen Hayes, Tony Carter.
Beast.
Yep, and that's just the name of, you know, a few of the celebrities that show up every
year.
That's
amazing.
And we turn down a lot of people just because we can't afford certain things, do certain things, but we try to be fair to everyone. I have something on the line right now. If it happens, it's going to be the biggest coup in martial arts in a long time, but I just can't mention the name. But he's a personal friend of mine. You may see on my Facebook page occasionally. I'm with him and Chuck Vito, and I'm just getting
I saw where Chuck's going to be a special appearance at your event. Tell me about Chuck a little bit for my listeners who don't know who Chuck is. Movie star, actor, black belt.
Chuck is actually one of my best friends, believe it or not. We travel a lot together.
Well, I believe it. I know it.
He's a good guy. If I went into battle, Chuck would be the guy I go with. Okay, he's the ex-president of Hell's Angels, the New York chapter. And Chuck went on to the show. He was on Oz for many years. He was on Sons of Anarchy. He's done many shows. He just did a movie a couple of years ago with Jason Statham. Remember that name? But I won't say anything.
Yes.
With Jason Statham. Some dozens of movies. He's always on TV. And Chuck and I got, we know each other about 15 years now, but Chuck and I became very good friends. We just came back. We were in Vegas. We were in California together. We have a good time together. But Chuck is, you know, people here, the Hell's Angels, you know, Chuck is a pure gentleman, one of the nicest guys you ever want to know. Now, if Chuck don't know you, don't like you, you got a problem, you know. But he's the guy that also beat up Van Damme, that knocked out Van Damme.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If you remember Arnold's event, it was you that asked me to ask him to sign the Ninth Don from Michael DiPasquale for me. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, absolutely. You know, but that's going to my next question. You know, how'd you get all the stars there besides them being your personal friends? I mean, you know, promoters, as you know, that I'm an active promoter myself. It's so hard to do the Living Legends every year, but yet it's not really that hard once you get the momentum to get going. And I'm not telling my secrets. I'm not asking you to tell yours. But let's say halfway through it, 10 years into it, Shifu, what made you decide to take it to the next level that you are now, where it's literally labeled the largest martial arts event in the world? What'd you do? What made it jump to that?
Here's what happened. Most of these celebrities, I became personal friends with them. And ironically, I won't mention names and stuff like that, but I've got guys, that celebrities, that call me all the time. What's going on? What dates? When are we coming in? What are we going to do? So they're so excited about my event, because here's what happens. It becomes an event where a guy like Don the Dragon will come to my event. And I have 30 countries come to our event every year, from Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Russia, Germany, Spain. It's just Portugal. It's amazing. And they make contacts in these countries now by major people that I bring in. And they get jobs all over the world now. So this is what happens.
That's
why they want to be here too. Because, you know, you got a guy like Don the Dragon. He says, Alan, $1,000 coming to your event just by making contacts. So that's the important part. That they're able to, it's more like a showcase. I don't bring them in to be, you know, I don't use anyone as a star, only star. But what happened, I've times Joe Piscopo showed up at my event. I've had tons of other celebrities show up. And, you know, like a guy like Joe Piscopo, he comes and sings at my event. Where do you get things like that happening? He comes every couple of years and comes in.
I know that you people know also know about you, Shifu, is that you've got a big heart. I know that you've given Don DeVries and Rich McClain the Bill Superfoot's Wallace booth, and you're setting up a booth for the Michael Dietrich and Jesse Bowen and their event for Usu Martial Arts. People don't know the inside of Shifu Alan Goldberg, and that's what I'd like to talk about. I know that you do a lot of work with the inside community of martial arts, but also you're an actor too. Tell me about some of your movie positions you've done and your work with Michael DiPasquale, who, I, by the way, big shout out to Michael DiPasquale Jr. We love you with all our heart, and I promise in the pre-interview that we mention you. So, talk about
Mike's my brother. Yeah, I get along. We're like two peas in a pod. We just, you know, I love being with him. He loves being with me. We just have a great time. We go out. But, you know, my event, I want everyone to be happy. You know, people come and say, oh, you're running this. I don't run a Hall of Fame. I run a Hall of Honors, which is different.
Yeah.
Because a Hall of Fame is a building where you have things. I'm just honoring people. And what I've done, what no one's ever done before, is that I do, every person that wants to come in, I do a VIP program. If they're able to bring a table of people, they're completely paid for everything for the whole weekend. And I get returning groups coming year after year, two tables, three tables. That's why the event is so big, because people look forward to coming.
So that's your secret. You developed one of your secrets. God bless you. Yeah, that's one of your cool.
Yeah. And I looked at, you know, if I bring in people like, I got like Stephen Hayes comes to my event every year, but he'll tell 5-6 of his schools to come into the event. So it's a support factor. I got Mark Shuey, the Cane Master, just sent me a list of people that he wants to have me induct under his name. No problem. If it makes, if it's good for you, it's good for me.
He's excited. I talked to him 2 days ago. He's very excited about being there. And, January 27th. January 27th, 29th. Right, Shifu?
Three days.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you right now. Okay, I'm going to ask you right now before we do the Legends name game. I want you to walk me through. I get there on Thursday, say. Just, I've never been there before, say. And I get there on Thursday. What can I expect to see on Thursday? I'm walking Thursday, Friday,
well,
and Saturday. So Thursday,
I'll give you a hint. The hotel just told me there's 150 rooms booked for Thursday night already, which is amazing because it's not even our first day. It's Friday's the first day. People get in there early. But I have a special VIP dinner in the hotel just for celebrities. So after we break up, we all go up to the local bars there and the local in the hotel, and everyone meets each other. Everyone sees, and you know, we're going to a bar, and next thing you know, we get 300-400 people in the bar just hanging out and drinking, and with all the celebrities. What I also, as the expo would go 3 days, I run a tournament, which is a full karate tournament. I have a stick fighting tournament, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu tournament, a point MMA tournament, and an athletic tournament all that weekend with 60 free seminars. It's just, you know, it's like a Disney World for everyone to come and enjoy themselves. And then I have on Friday night, I have a big VIP dance party, which is open to anyone that comes. And we have a dance contest there. We have a crazy hot contest this year. Then we have Saturday be the banquet. And after that, they go down to the bars and local bars and party and, you know, gamble the rest of the night. So we became the largest piece of business in the Tropicana history 2 years in a row. We beat every record the hotel ever had. And that's because, you know, it just worked out that our people love to come and spend money and have a good time. Last year, if you do remember, there was a snowstorm, biggest snowstorm on the East Coast. I had all the haters out there saying, good for Goldberg.
Yeah,
well, how
did you last year?
Yeah.
It
was my best
snowstorm.
Our numbers were down slightly. We had close to 1,000 people at the banquet, but the windup was.
You call that down that, slightly, 1,000 people?
Yeah.
That's not down. That's incredible.
Yeah. But the hotel was ready to shut down, but we had 335 rooms booked in the hotel that everyone showed up for. So it just was an amazing event. We just had a great time.
Now, tell me Saturday night when you do the honors, and Michael De Pasquale has been your master ceremony for all these years. I know that you really go through these fine tooth. You just don't give them out like cupcakes like a lot of people do. And I've always admired you on that. I've got a question to ask. I've heard – go ahead before I ask a question. What were you going
to
say?
I have a categories from 1 to 20, actually. Certain categories that have to go to board of directors. Then I have my categories go all the way to 40. From 21 to 40, which are open categories. And what does that mean? That's mean like a guy like you, like Mark Shuey sent me a list. I don't have to investigate those people because Mark already put them in.
His
so
word,
those are not
right.
people that go through that. Right. They don't go through the trial and errors, who's what, what's where. I don't give away, you know, Legend Award or Platinum Pioneer. I don't do that. There's maybe one person, two people get it. Literally, we've only had 2 Legend Awards in the last 17 years given away. And I tell people, if you want to go to another one, it's fine, go. But I won't do it. I just don't feel I need to do it and put myself in a position where people will question it.
Sure. So it goes to my question I was going to ask you. You know, through the research that I did and knowing you personally for all these years, I know that you actually put an award, a $10,000 award. I'd like to talk about that. And where'd that come from? And, it, you know, we kind of laugh about it, but no one's ever come forward to get it. Tell me about it.
No, I actually had, about 15, maybe 14 years ago, I had an article that was put in a magazine, and a gentleman, I won't mention names, was a group out of Ohio and another group out of Maryland area that were combined. And they sent me an article, and there were more PhDs and doctor titles in that article than were in the hospital. I mean, literally, it was amazing. And I took them all out of the article, and I gave everyone the title Grandmaster, whatever it was. I had no problem with those titles. And the reason, after I printed the article, they came back to me, this group, and started cursing me, and it got a little racial to a point, believe it or not, that they were black and I was white, and I wouldn't. The truth of the matter was, guys, you got to prove to me your doctors and PhDs, because I gave them the federal statutes that said you can't use those titles. You can't use doctor or PhD. It's against the law. Some states up to $1,000 fine every time you sign it, and it didn't matter where you were getting it from.
And just the general public, when they hear PhD, Sifu, they immediately think a doctor in the school 6, 8, 10 years,
right.
whatever. And, yeah, they think that immediately. They don't think anything else. They don't think the fraud or the lying of putting
right.
that in front of
yeah.
or behind their name. So,
what's wrong with the title sensei or hanshi or sifu? Really, I mean, it's not a problem. Even professor people said it one time. I says, no, because if you go overseas, like I did a lot of traveling in my life, and I met an instructor, whether he was
yeah,
in martial arts or not.
The Kempo people, they came up with that, the Kempo guy said.
But,
you know, even Grandmaster has been used the wrong way.
That's right.
Because I remember when there was I remember, Sifu, remember if you were a fifth degree or a sixth degree black belt, you were treated like an angel. I mean,
right.
it's really changed.
For the audience, end of my investigation, the word professor only means that you're a teacher of your art, whether it's music, martial arts, or anything. So
yes, sir.
I felt nothing wrong with that because you weren't putting out a title that didn't mean something. But a title that meant doctor or PhD had a different standards. And I hired a lawyer to go out and do that. I literally have all the – anyone has in your head wants to speak to me on Facebook, I'll send them the statutes, and they'll fall down when they read it. It's like 4 pages of just statutes about why people can't do this. And it had nothing to do with martial arts. It had to do with titling. No matter what you were, you couldn't use those titles. Now, you got guys who argue all day long. One guy says, I have eight PhDs and doctorates. I looked at him. I go, you're amazing. I said, how old are you? Well, I'm 54. I said, well, it takes at least 8 years, college. So how'd you get 8 of them? I said, well, you started when you were just born? You know, it was amazing that these people use it. And I really have to say something very honest to everyone. If we don't get back to the understanding that rank really means nothing, rank means something to the person that gets the title. And if you try to shove it down other people's throats, it really gets it. My students call me Sifu, and that's it. I'm very happy with that. I don't look at anyone that uses a title that's a martial art title in any way, whether it's grandmaster or master or whatever. But when there's a title being used that has nothing to do with the martial arts and does show a higher educational aspect that is not given to martial arts, I felt it. And I put a $10,000 reward to anyone that can show me. Now, I did find someone that had a 2-year college that did have a 2-year course in martial arts, which was an associate degree. But no college ever put a PhD program together. And that's a standard college for the United States Board of Education. So these guys that give these titles away are fooling me public, and I don't believe in that. I can't believe in that.
So what was the funniest or the most controversial confrontation you had when you went after when you made this public?
Well, when I did that, this group that I took their names out of the titles, they kind of threatened me and everything, so I went to one of their events. And I walked into the event with my fighter, Oak Tree Edwards, who's with me all the time. And
Oak Tree Edwards?
Right.
What an animal.
I have properties I own. He lives in one of my properties. So I call him my Lou Kobratsky, I call him. Oak Tree, walk in, and all these guys that had big mouths were, Sifu Goldberg, we know it. And you know what it is? I didn't confront them in a bad way. I just, guys, just get real. And I see these guys, some of these guys today, a handful of them, and they'll come over to me and thank me for what I did then because it got nuts. It got crazy. And very few of them use those titles anymore. There's a handful that do, but most of these guys don't anymore.
Well, you know, probably people might have probably forgotten about it or it was something they talked about, but anyone's listening to the show tonight, they sure got it back in their face. And you know, the thing about it is, I understand what it's like, what it's gone through, because I've been here from the very beginning of this high Don rank and all these different halls of fame and stuff. And we're just lucky to be black belts. And we're just really lucky to be just students. And if we can find a sensei that we can learn to love and then respect, then we're very, very lucky. I just didn't understand the ego involved. And that's one thing I did enjoy about Kung Fu. If you lived in a Shaolin temple like you said you did, that's pretty cool because you were around that humbleness day in and day out, night in and night out. And that's probably one of the reasons why I feel you've probably been very successful because you got a true heart. And I've never said that to you, but I'll say it to you now. I really believe that you do have a true heart. And that's the only reason why your event has grown and grown and grown. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I believe we're one community, and you know, we are different styles, whatever it is, but God, we treat each other equally, whether we're black, white, green, purple, whatever. What belt you wear means nothing. And in my letter that I send out to people, I tell them that. If you come to the event with your ego, leave. Don't stay. We don't need you there. You know what I'm saying? It's very important to realize it's a harmony. And we've had our event now. It's on the 17th year. The hotel loves my crowd of people because they never felt as safe as they ever did.
Well, mention that. Mention the Tropicana, when, where, and what they can do to contact the Tropicana.
Well, some of them also mentioned, which I didn't mention before, we have the first year, we have, you know who the Guardian Angels are, of course, Curtis Sliwa.
Yes.
We're running that first international conference at our event this year. We have about 50 Guardian Angels coming in, maybe more, and they're part of the martial art community. So Curtis and I became good friends over the years. We're both out of Brooklyn. We knew each other for years. And, you know, it's another focal point in what we do. We just try to put organizations forward, help organizations. And you guys want to be and come and see what we're doing, January 27th, 28th, 29th, Tropicana Hotel, Atlantic City. You go to my page. Excuse me. There's a code there for a discount for the rooms. And you have a great time. You can get into the trade show for 3 days for $45.
What? 3 days for $45. That's incredible.
And 60 seminars.
And you mentioned some of the people that were going to be there. I tell you what, we're going to take a break and pay some bills, but I want you to stay on the line because I want to go to part two in just a few minutes and ask you some pertinent questions about the event itself that people will want to know. So will you stay on the line for me, Mr. Goldberg?
Not a problem.
Okay, good. I'll be back in a few minutes. Well, wow, what a great part one with Sipu Allen Goldberg. An amazing, amazing martial artist, and his event is incredible. Remember, January 27th through the 29th, and there'll be some incredible people there, as you heard him talking about. Now, we'd like to mention some of the upcoming events that the AMMA will be sponsoring and the Sport Karate Museum Archives will be personally sponsoring, and that will be the Superfoot Tournament in Cleveland, Ohio, March 31st through April 1st, and Super Producers Don DeVries and Richie McClain will be putting this event on. It'll be an incredible event with a banquet and honoring some of the most strongest people that have supported Bill Superfoot all the years. And then we'll have MGM Super Show in Las Vegas, and the Pioneers and Legends booth will be featuring Hansi Jesse Bowen and legend Jim Buten and the first World Point Karate Champion, Mr. Jimmy Tabaris. And that'll be July the 6th through the 8th. MGM Super Show in Las Vegas, Nevada. August 4th and 5th, Dennis Brown and the U.S. Capitol Classic, which is a NASCA major event, will have the Legends Banquet and his amazing tournament and the book signing that will be there also. And try to make it to Washington, D.C. if you get to go to his tournament. Also, the Kimball Hall of Fame, the Gathering of Eagles will be August 11th and 12th and 13th. Producers Dr. Nick Chamberlain, and he has the blessing of Grandmaster Al Tracy to put this together and bringing all the Kimpo community together. The events that we support coming year are events that we've checked out and feel that you'll have the best time there, and always to have fun, to be educational, and to be informative. We'd like to invite you personally to an event September the 29th and the 30th. It's put on by Shihan Darling, McPherson's Puggles, and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, and it's called Kata Wars. We'd like to invite you personally because this will be the 25th Living Legends Celebrity Roast, and we've done this for 25 years, and it's going to be a heck of a celebration. This year we're roasting Mr. George Minshew, but also we're going to have Friday night a Harrison Black Belt family tribute to Mr. Harrison, turned 80 years old a couple of days ago. And so in September, we're going to bring in a lot of people together from around the country to celebrate his tribute to sport karate. Kata Wars is kind of unique and different. It's not another tournament, but this tournament is put together with the vision that Shihan Darling McPherson had and I to put together the best competitors in the country and really give an opportunity to build a national black belt kata champ. We contacted some major tournaments around the country, and we got permission for them to send us their grand champions of their respective tournaments. There's no funding or money involved. All they have to do is show up, along with 8 people from the museum. We call them the wild cards, and they will emerge down in Houston September the 29th and 30th and present Kata Wars. They will compete against each other, and some of them have never competed against each other because of sanctions, tournaments, age, the decades, because there's many ages represented. But imagine the grand champions of every one of these major tournaments that I'm going to mention competing against each other for the first time, and then establishing a true national kata champion from taking the best and putting them in a group so they could go against each other. Some of the tournaments are participating that we've asked them to send us their grand champions. Our national events have been established for many years. Right off the bat, the AMNA Nationals, Mr. Jesse Bowen's event. I believe Johnny Watkins won his tournament this year, and he'll be representing them. The Ocean State Nationals, Christine Bannon Rodriguez and Don Rodriguez. The Tumate Classic, Mr. Bell Viola's tournament. Dixieland Nationals, Mr. Dewey Earwood's tournament. The Empire Nationals, Mr. Lee Allen's tournament. And the Battle of Atlanta, the Ruth family's tournament. The Diamond Nationals, that's Mr. John Worley, Mr. Pat Worley, Mr. Larry Carnahan's tournament. The Jam All Nationals, that's D.D. Crash Petway and Jason Holmes' event. The Bill Wallace, I mentioned earlier, the Bill Wallace Superfoot Tournament. They'll be sending us their grand champions, producers Don DeVries and Richard McLean. The U.S. Capitol Classics, it's simply Dennis Brown's event, and we'll receive his grand champions. Louisiana Pro-Am, Pee Wee Blanco's tournament in February. The American Kick Nationals, Mr. Bob Licker and Buck Russo. And the Grand Slam Nationals, Mr. Jeff Doss, who, by the way, a big shout-out to Jeff. Jeff won his fifth Super Grands overall world championship this year. An amazing record that I just don't think will ever be broken. The Long Beach Internationals, Mr. Steve Cooper, and Mr. Neil Harding, producers. And again, I want to mention that the 8 chosen hand-picked Sport Karate Museum Black Belt Kata competitors are incredible performers. We'll take the winner of last year, which was Johnny Murphy, and he'll be thrown in the group. But it's something to come and see, because Kata Wars is going to be an amazing event. I'd like to answer one of the emails tonight before we get back to our special guest, Sifu Alan Goldberg. And the emails are important. We try to answer them all, maybe not on the air, but I do answer them by email back. So the first one tonight I'd like to share with you, this is from Mr. James, and he's from Duluth, Minnesota. He asked very simply, what is Kihon? I heard the word. I just don't know what it means. My instructor says it all the time. I just never ask him what it means. Kihon, I believe it's the same word. It's spelled K-I-O-N. You spelled it with 2 N's. Kihon is the Japanese word for basic, or anything basic, whether it be yes, sir, or no, sir. Etiquette, may I open the door for you, or a front stance, a front kick, a front punch, anything basic. If someone has good Kihon, and if he practices Kihon throughout his career, he will have excellent basics. So I hope that answers your question, what Kihon is. And, you know, it's understandable that there's 4 basic words in Karate Do. Kihon, Kata, Bunkai, and Kumite. And to make it really simple for you, when you learn your Kihon and you learn your moves, from those moves you learn Kata. And from Kata, you learn to apply the moves, so the moves become Bunkai, which is self-defense. And then you take your favorite moves, and they become Wazas, and then you use them for Kumite, which would be your self-defense mechanism or your offensive mechanism to hit something. So those 4 words, Kihon, Kata, Bunkai, and Kumite. So I hope to answer your question, and we really appreciate you taking time and writing us. Well, with that said, we've taken care of some of the bills, and I'd like to get my special guest back on the air. It's Sifu, Alan Goldberg there, please.
This was Sifu Cliff. Have you just put me on host Q?
I'm sorry, who is this?
Am I live? Oh, I'm live. All right, this is Sifu Cliff. How are you?
Well,
I was calling to say some positive things about my friend, Sifu Alan Goldberg.
Yeah, is Alan there? Can you hear it?
Yeah, I'm here. Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Say something nice about Alan. That'd be great. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, you know, a lot of people don't realize. Well, first, I'm Sifu Cliff. I own the Kung Fu Karate Expo, which is also in Atlantic City. We do our event April 8th.
Yes, sir.
You know, I've had Sifu Alan every single event. I've had this is my 11th event this year. And a lot of people don't realize that he's really like the godfather of all these events. He's supportive in worldwide events. He gives advice to me. He's my advisor and everything. But, I mean, a lot of people don't realize today, you know, 2017, there's very few people that have the skills and the knowledge and just a person that has promoted martial arts as it is today. I mean, so he's really done a lot of things that have just, I mean, he's moved a lot of things for all of us. I mean, he's done so many great things. So I just want to send that out. I mean, you know, thanks a lot, Sifu.
Thank you, Cliff. The check's in the mail. Don't worry about it,
Cliff.
Well, I appreciate that.
He's
a great guy. Check his event out also. You see it on Facebook. Great guy.
Well, we appreciate you calling in, Sifu Cliff. And like I said, I know you do have a great event. I follow it every year. And thank you again for saying kind words about Sifu Goldberg. Well, Sifu Goldberg, I got you on the line. I want to play a game that I do with every interviewer, and it's real simple. I'm going to say a name, and then you have a minute or a paragraph or something pretty simple, or however you want to feel from the heart about that person, and tell my viewers what that person means to you. Are you ready?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay, first one, Jason Lau.
Well, it's my father. My Kung Fu father, even though I studied many styles, we've gotten... Wow, I mean, like, we lived in the same building together for so many years, over 6 years, and it just, you grow a different aspect of respect than you did if you just went to class every day. So I love the man to this day.
Super. Chuck Zito.
Chuck's my boy, got my back. Recently, I'll say, I went to an event, and there was some gentleman, we won't mention names on air, that owes me some money, and I went out there, I went to see the guy, and whatever, and he followed me out behind my back, Chuck. I tried not to let people know, and Chuck walked up behind the guy and told the guy, you're lucky there's some cameras here. So Chuck has my back no matter where we go. Great guy, and he's the guy you want behind your back besides Oak Tree. So I'm very fortunate to have a guy like that.
Yeah, an amazing guy. How about Kerry O'Cassell?
He is a guy that's so peaceful in his own right, but so deadly. And we also do a lot of traveling together, and we hang out together and go places. And it's just such a pleasure to be with the man. And you know the guy, you know, he's a dangerous operator.
Guy. He pioneered full contact. I know that. He was an incredible point fighter.
I had Benny the Jet coming this year. They have the famous fight with Benny the Jet and him. They're coming. So,
wow, Benny's going to come. That's a long way from California.
Yeah, Benny
will be there. How about Jeff Smith?
Jeff has been to my event probably the last 10 years, great supporter, great guy, a real gentleman. And look, Jeff is no slouch either. Jeff was out there banging away when it wasn't even popular to bang away. So got to give him a lot of respect for that. Pure gentleman.
Amazing fighter, yeah. How about Michael J. White? Do you know him real well?
Well, Mike and I, you know, it's funny. Mike and I get on the phone and we start talking and we get lost in what we talk about, man, and it's just like, you know, and Mike's a big movie star now. Mike has really made it.
Yeah.
And
yeah, he has.
We've gone away a couple of weekends together, different events, and
the guy is just like a regular guy. You have a great time with him, and he's shy in his own right. You know, with around certain things, he's very shy, but a real good guy. Also, a guy to have your back. Definitely a guy to have your back.
Yeah, a real movie star and a real Kyoki Shinkai type fighter too. I know he's a badass.
Yep.
How about Cynthia Rothrock? I know you're real close to Cynthia.
She's my good luck chum. She's been in my event 17 years in a row, and she
told
me she would never stop coming unless I ended the event. She actually pushes my event more than she pushes her own event, because she just has such a great time in my event.
I got to throw in another friend of yours, Christina Bannon Rodriguez.
Also, wonderful.
Did you hear her name, Christina?
Yeah, I just started something this year with Bam Johnson and his family, and we're doing the first ever Kids' Choice Awards. And Christine will be there as one of the presenters with Don Dragon and Cynthia Rothrock.
Well, that's
year, just a
wow. I want to mention Don Wilson. What is he to you?
Also a great guy. I mean, again, as I told earlier, these people became personal friends. You know, I picked the phone up one day many years back, and Don goes, "What, you know, is there anything you need, Alan? You called?" I says, "No, Don, I just wanted to say to you." He goes, "Well, now I know you're my friend. You're not just calling me to be whatever." And since that time, we can just get on the phone and talk for hours. And Don can talk, so I'm not kidding about that.
He was a great fighter. He won eight different titles. He won a bunch of titles. I lost count. Yeah.
Let me just say, we just did a movie together. Don and I did a movie, Paying Mr. Maggette. And
okay.
I had a fairly big role in the movie, and at the end of the movie, it ends with me and Don. And I can't tell it until you see it, but the end of the movie ends just me and Don fading away.
Do you like to act?
Very cool.
Is that part of your repertoire? Do you like to read scripts and memorize lines?
I don't act. I memorize lines perfectly, but I don't act. I tell people I'm not going to play a mailman. I can't play a grocery clerk. You want me to play Alan Goldberg, I play Alan Goldberg. And, you know, you put me in a role that's, you know, fairly to my suiting, I have no problem. I think I did like 7 movies last year.
Wow. I didn't realize you were that active. That's pretty impressive.
I got one more
for you, but I want to build it up. You know, this year we've lost some incredible people. We've lost Bill Rozacki and Andy Horn and a few others. But I know that you're very close to someone we lost in 2012. I know he came to your event. I know he was a personal friend of yours, but I'd like you to talk about him a little bit. The great, probably the best heavyweight fighter that ever lived, black belt fighter, Mr. Joe Louis. Talk a little about Joe Louis.
Well, Joe, that's a very soft spot. Joe and I met each other.
But I appreciate you talking about it.
When Joe and I first met, we were like two bulls. And, you know, I'm from Brooklyn. I'm not going to give up. And Joe always tried to be a little cocky with his thing, and I was cocky with my thing. You know, you'd be cocky at me, I'd be cocky back. And I told Joe once, Joe, and this is when we became best of friends, I said, "I'll always bow to you, but I'll never get on my knees and kiss your ass." And he looked at me and goes,
"That to Joe Louis?"
I said a lot of things to Joe Louis I don't want to repeat, but he got to a point where he actually called me his confidant. And when Joe got out of the hospital the first time, I was the first person he called, because I used to send stuff to him every day. And I was supposed to go out with Bill Wallace and Jeff Smith to meet them. God, it was probably a week before he passed away, Joe. And I couldn't get out there. It was just like a 2-hour ride, and I called. But when I got there, Bill Wallace took his phone and called me, and Joe got on the phone with me. And to this day, every time I think about it even, I choke up. And he said to me, "Alan, all I want to do is thank you for being my real friend and never turning your back on me."
Amen.
And that was just a few days before he passed away. So
I'll
never forget that. And even I have a booth at my event every year with his organization there. I give him a free booth. I give him some seminar time.
Paul Amano. Yeah, good guy. Yeah. Well, I know Joe Corley, he gives out an internal warrior award through the Battle of Atlanta. And then I give out a natural fighter award, a Joe Louis fighting award I give out every year also. And, you know, I went through Roger Graney and Paul to get permission to do that, and I'm very honored to do that. My most memorable story of Mr. Lewis is really simple. I was doing Black Belt TV at the time, and I was doing interviews, and I had nobody to babysit Garrett. You remember Garrett? You saw him perform in Atlantic City. He was tiny, and Mr. Lewis saw that I had nobody to watch him because I was doing interviews, and he said he can stay with me at my booth. And he literally babysitted Garrett for about 3 hours, and when I came up, Garrett was sitting on his lap, and it was a Joe Lewis I never saw before, you know?
Joe?
An amazing fighter.
Funny.
Yeah.
When I found things out about Joe as years went on, because I never got impressed with that fight record. Excuse me, you know, everyone fought, you know, sometime or another. And
yes, sir.
He's a world champion. I respect that. But I respect the man first. And if the man wasn't the right, you know, the right way, the right person, I didn't respect them. The men, whatever their records were. And I saw so many facets to Joe Lewis that it was just amazing. I mean, he was literally a very caring person, very sensitive person, and people didn't see that side of him more. And very
he was
intelligent.
Smart. Oh, man, he was
intelligent.
Smart. Yeah.
Very intelligent.
And just for the listeners, is it true that he made Black Belt in 18 months or a short term, wasn't it?
Well, it could be. And you know something? We just got to go back to the pre-war and, you know, after the war, actually.
Yeah.
Martial arts was different then. And ranking was different.
And Okinawa.
You know, right. And there weren't belts in between, you know. And you look at a guy
about
then, like Peter Urban. What made Peter Urban a 10th degree black belt? Well, guess what?
He was refused from the Japanese. The Japanese said he didn't deserve a 10th degree. Remember?
but they wouldn't fight him. They wouldn't go up against him. So Peter Urban was that old era, Don Nagel, Peter Urban, Gary Alexander, God, he's still with us. That was a real, real tough group of guys that you had to give them credit no matter what rank they were or whatever.
How about Kareem Allah? He was the very first 10th degree black belt, 10th degree black belt, Kareem Allah.
Yeah, I know him also. He was supposed to get a hold of me to come to my event. I don't know if he's coming or not, but I got to call Jeff Smith.
Jeff beat him up pretty good. Jeff beat him up pretty good. Thriller Manila, I remember that. Thank you for the legend name game. Thank you for talking about Joe Lewis. I know that's a very soft spot, but you know, for listeners that don't know that Mr. Lewis, he did pass away in 2012, and he's always remembered, never forgotten, and we always want to talk about his memory whenever we can. You know, I asked this question toward the end of the show, and I'm gonna ask you, Mr. Sifu Goldberg, the question. But before I do, I'd like to make a big shout out to all the history generals that are listening, and anyone that that is part of what we do or what we've done for the past few years in making it a reality to honor sport karate. Remember, we're all Asian influenced in martial arts. There's no doubt about that. Okinawa, Japanese, Korean, Chinese, but America invented sport karate, and that's what we do. We're not a Hall of Fame. We simply concentrate on honoring sport karate heroes and icons and pioneers that developed it through the 50s and 60s, 70s and 80s and 90s now, and established it to be a 60-year-old sport in America. Who knew that it would turn out to be the way it is today? And that's one of the last questions I want to ask you, Mr. Goldberg. In our lifetime, you and I are going to get to see not Taekwondo, which is a great martial art, but we'll get to see real Karate Do in the Olympics in 2020 in Tokyo, Japan. How do you feel about that? And do you feel that America or Japanese or basic Karate is ready for the Olympics?
Well, my good friend Toki Hill is a part of that right now, that the Shotokan groups, Japanese arts, are going to be going to the Olympics. Toki and I work very close together. Toki runs a tournament at the Arnold every year, and I'm the chief coordinator for that. And I'm just hoping, you know, Toki's a good guy. So, you know, I look at a lot of great things ahead of that. And eventually, every martial art's going to be in there. And they got to have to let other styles in, too. So, It's going to happen.
Well, it's pretty cool to see in our lifetime in the World Karate Olympics. So I just wanted to drop that by you because, like I said, it'd be really cool to have the guy that wins a gold medal in fighting or a gold medal in karate appear at your event. So that would be cool. Here's the last question I want to ask you. I do it as a mandatory question for all my personal interviews that I do. Okay, in your days, I don't know if you still teach. I don't know if you do. I'm sure you still have
private. Yeah, I do.
But
I still have school.
Oh, do you? Okay, cool. Then this would be perfect for you. If you're at your school and someone walks in, they're very cordial. They take off their shoes. They walk up to you and they say, "Yes, sir, I'd like to learn martial arts. What would I do to learn and train under Sifu Alan Goldberg?" What would you say to them? This is a two-part question for the first part. Go ahead. What would you say to them?
My school, ironically, I'm in Brooklyn, New York. I've been teaching in this location 7 years now. It was 25 the year before that. And we moved to a very unusual area. It's a very oriental area. There are a lot of Chinese there. And I'm fortunate enough that the Chinese community had taken me in. So when I get people coming, half my school is Chinese. And I look for attitude first. I don't look for skill. And I want them to come in and be part of my family. If they don't want to be part of my family, you want to learn something else, it's fine. Go to the Taekwondo school. But, you know, when you train with me, you're going to be part of my Kung Fu family. That's really what it's all about. You don't have to be a good martial or the best. You have to try and be a martial artist first.
Well, that's a great answer. So the part two, you have the exact same half thing happening, except now this guy, say it's been raining outside, he's got a muddy shoes, you don't take his shoes off, he just walks on the floor, you don't say hello, goodbye, or anything, he just says, hey, you, with a kung fu outfit on. Hey, yeah, you, do you teach martial arts? I want to learn how to fight. How would you approach someone like that if they approach you like that?
Well, let's just look, I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I have thrown a few guys down the stairs, literally. I'm not exaggerating. I've actually thrown a few guys down the stairs. So I don't take too much. I've actually been challenged, too, in the school. And the three guys
tell
that have challenged
it.
Me over the years.
Tell me about it.
I had three guys challenge me over the years, and every one of them became my student.
Really? What a great story.
Yep. I just beat the crap out of them until they looked up and they go, "What did you do?" So,
well, you know, I like to talk about martial arts, and I know that teaching kung fu is a challenge like any martial art is, but you're already labeled because people think kung fu's passive, but they watch a real kung fu like Terry Fell or yourself, they realize that, you know, Paul Vizio, remember the great Full Kind of Fighter, these incredible fighters, they have kung fu talent, kung fu ability, kung fu training, but they can fight, too, absolutely. So people are very, very kind of ignorant.
Quick one, I'll tell you. You mentioned Paul Vizio. I was the bodyguard at the Chinatown death match with Paul Vizio.
Was it up on the rooftop? Was it on the rooftop in New York City?
No, this was in a school. They locked the doors from the inside. And it was amazing.
Okay. Were you ever on the rooftop in New York when they did the underground fighting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
You guys
ran Chinatown.
So you're probably surprised that funny guy knows about that. Yeah, but I do.
You remember Wai Hung?
No, sir.
I was the first guy American he allowed into his organization. And then Paul Vizio, believe it or not.
Well, I do believe it. Because back then it was a different time. And if you were a Daiji, white boy, you didn't get involved with the Chinese very well. Or even Koreans or Japanese. You had to really work your way. So I understand that. So, but those fights were brutal. There were no equipment. It was just bare knuckles.
Oh, yeah.
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 So.
Oh, yeah. We saw many of them.
let me ask you a question while you talk. We're ending up, though. Do you know about that new movie with Bruce Lee where he fights one Doc Bong or the famous fight that he had? Do you know about that?
No, I haven't heard.
You heard
that
about
yet.
That movie? Oh, it's a new movie.
No, not yet.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think about Bruce Lee? I'm just in with that. Tell me what you think about Bruce.
He was actually,
did you ever meet Bruce?
He was part of my Kung Fu fam. I'm doing martial arts going on 55 years coming up.
Yes, sir.
And I was in the garden when Bruce was there, and so on, so on, so forth. I thought Bruce was a phenomenal athlete, a phenomenal martial artist, but not a traditionalist. And even my other Sifu Grandmaster Mo Yat out of Chinatown would tell me stories that Bruce was always shunned by the other martial art people. So there was always a very, you know, sketchy area with Bruce Lee. Again, he did wonderful things in the martial art world, though. So you can't knock that.
Well, were you close to him at the time that he's passing when he left the earth?
No. I just met him a couple times. That was it. And,
okay.
You know, he was held in great respect in a lot of people because he was a rebel, definitely a rebel. Just like Gary Alexander. And people respect him and love him, too.
Well, you know, the controversy between Gary and J. Pat Burleson is they both claimed to have won the first national American Karate Championship. Gary won the Kyokushinkai, and J. Pat
right.
won 2-3. So, interesting who won what year before. So
They're going to be both at my event this year. So.
Wow.
Pat Burleson and Gary will be at my event this year. So
That's a publicity moment there. Well, with that said, thanks so much for your time and the interview. I appreciate you giving me the hour that you did. God bless you, Sifu Allen Goldberg. And I wish you all the best in 2017 and your event. I hope it's prosperous and that you meet new people and see your old friends. And every year gets bigger and better. And, you know, maybe make it a ritual that next year, if we're still on the air, God bless, you'll be my first show next year. So,
thank you so much. No problem.
Well, okay,
I appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Bowen.
God bless you.
Have a good year.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. We'll look forward. I'll be there at your event.
There you are, Jesse.
I'll be in Atlantic City doing a Who's Who sign, so we're going to have fun.
Well, I think you might have already hung up, Archie Bowen. But mentioning that, you will be in Atlantic City with Michael Dietrich at the booth, and you'll have incredible guests there like Cynthia Rothrock and Michael J. White, Mikey Rowe Moore, and other people who are part of the book to do a book signing for you. And I know we're doing book signings all over the country at Bill Wallace's Superfoot Tournament and U.S. Capitol Classics. But the question I wanted to end the show tonight with is that you mentioned something earlier in our New Year's Year show, your mindset of doing a different vision toward martial arts. And I believe you used the word mindfulness. Now, for the people who don't know what that word means, kind of explain it to them and maybe tell a little about the project that you're doing here, that you're up and coming work.
Okay, great, sir. Yeah, I spent the past 40 years actually being involved in meditation, mindfulness training. I'm a Silver Method, which is one of the oldest mind development programs, used to call Silver Mind Control. I'm a graduate of that program. I'm also a lecturer for that program. I'm an NLP coach, master sports hypnosis coach. I developed the mindfulness class for physical education at Duke University. And since being retired, and we already have the Duke program, and that program is called Zen Mind Body, The Power to Live Your Vision, that which is the mindfulness course. So we are developing and have developed a program just for martial artists. We really must make a change through the mental state in the martial arts. Many schools do teach meditation, but there's a lot of schools that don't. So what we're doing is developing a program to give to martial artists that they can teach, because mindfulness is being aware, but this program is more than just the mindfulness part. That's one phase, but it's learning the dynamic meditation part of that, because who we are, this radio show, conversation we're having, is a mental part that we've come up with an idea or concept, and we mentally put it together, and there's a vision. And schools across the country now are using mindfulness as a part of helping kids to be in control. So mindfulness is great for their stress reduction, It's great for bringing families together. But, you know, taking control of yourself, we have over 50,000 thoughts that we have a day. And mindfulness training brings us in touch with what our thoughts are. You know, in 2017, this is going to be a phenomenal year, but it's probably going to be a very stressful year too. And how we deal with stress is based upon what we think and what we feel. So being able to get up and now do morning meditation, to do it with your family, to do it with your kids, is designed to unite and bring everyone together. And that's what this course is really about.
Well, the question I want to ask you, you mentioned hypnosis a little earlier. Have you ever been hypnotized?
Yeah.
You
I hypnotize people.
Okay.
Yes.
You hypnotize people. And you have
yes,
to
sir.
Hypnotize yourself. Okay. So in that state of mind that the mind is, someone else is in total control of what you do and what you act.
Well,
you
have to understand that you got stage hypnosis. In real hypnosis, you can only be hypnotized if you desire. You're hypnotized. You've been hypnotized before. Have you ever driven from point A to point B, but you don't remember the stuff in between? You are under your own self hypnosis. You're hypno driving. So, you know, you got stage hypnosis where someone that gets you to quack like a duck because you want to quack like a duck. You know, so you when we're talking about hypnosis, you don't even go to sleep at night unless you can go to a meditative state. If you have a dream,
it's not minded. It's not for someone who always say that you're weak minded because you can be hypnotized. It's for anybody who wants to let themselves be hypnotized. So it's not about being
exactly right. But you do it all the time. This is not something that's weird. It's, you know, if you go to sleep and if you go into a deep sleep at night, you know, you're under because your brain has these brain frequency. And so theta brain frequency is Pandora's box. You remember everything that's ever happened to you in your life. You remember when you were born, but it's locked in that deep, you know, state of subconscious mind. And when you see someone like on a CSI or someone and they're coming in, they're hypnotizing someone to get them to remember, then that's what they're doing. They're just allowing them, guiding them to a restful state so that they can remember, they can open up Pandora's box and bring that memory out of Pandora's box, dream control. You know, so like I said, there's so many wonderful things about ourselves that we don't know. And this is what I've taught for years. You've got Carlos Boozer, you know, you've got Drew Bly, you got Brian Simmons, a number of the athletes at Carolina and Duke that I've worked with. You know, we have a program right now developed for Carlos Boozer, who is from Duke to play professional basketball. The program is Play in the Sports Zone for Basketball. That program was developed for Carlos Boozer. We got Zen Bowling, the Psychology of Better Bowling, that is a hypnosis program. We have the Zen Healthy Weight Loss System, that is a hypnosis program. So, you know, we've done so much in the form of helping people take control. We're just going to the martial arts community and now giving a system that people can use to help other people become better.
Well, that's you know what's really exciting about this to me personally is that I never thought that I'm sitting here in 2017, been very lucky to accomplish the things I've accomplished, and been a pretty good martial artist my whole life. But now I get to expand my mind by listening to this program that you're developing to maybe further than what my mind can expand. I believe in the early year, I guess in the beginning of the 80s, I guess, when they started doing the seminars of mind expanding and stuff, you know, and went to a few of those and just kind of went over my head. But now that I'm older and a little bit more understanding, I see where there's not only a place for the meditation, which I've done my whole life, but a place to see where my mind can go. How far can I push the limit? And you mentioned something earlier that makes a lot of sense to me. We're hypnotized daily. in what we do. And if we are structured to do it in a different way, especially through the martial arts and the program that you're doing, then it's going to benefit us as martial artists. So I'm excited about it. So make sure you let us know when and where you're going to do this and the special guests do you have to do this subject about. And if it's an ongoing subject, then that's great. You know, we're lining up. It's 9:40. We've got about 5 more minutes. And I'd like to say for more information that you'd like to read more about what we've done, you can go to www.sportkaratemuseum.org. And remember, the cliche, protecting the history one warrior at a time. And all emails go directly at ProfessorGaryLee@gmail.com. The call is Jesse Bowen, Hachi Bowen, directly for your book and your free calendar. Call 919-618-8075. And remember, you go directly to the webpage at www.whoshointhemartialarts.com and order your book. We want to thank again Sifu Alan Goldberg for his time and Hachi Bowen for helping produce this event. Everybody that's protecting and listening to the show, we thank you so much. And Hachi, Jesse, we'd like to say a goodbye note to the viewers who are listening.
Well, everyone, like I said, again, we thank you. Now, we really hope that we are being a benefit to the martial arts community by providing a form of education, of knowledge, and motivation. You know, standing on the shoulders of greatness was our theme last year. And, you know, we want to keep that theme going on. We did just finished up the Martial Arts History Month, which was really phenomenal, a lot of response from that. So, everyone, we know, we just want to say be blessed and, you know, be looking forward to our next show.
Well, God bless you. And with that said, aloha, everybody. Mahalo. And we'll see you at the next show, which will be Monster Man Everett Eddie from Detroit, Michigan, the one and only. God bless you guys.